You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 23. We'll start there. This morning we started teaching on tithing, and just New Covenant tithing. That's what I titled it, incidentally. Because tithing is a new covenant thing. It was an old covenant thing. It was before a covenant thing. It was during a covenant, after the covenant. How many believe in holy living? Amen. Holy living is a new covenant thing. It was an old covenant thing. It was before the covenant. It was during the covenant. It's after the covenant. Yeah. See, some things are just, they're the same all the way through. And then there's some things obviously did change. Of course, obviously in covenants, the way we approach God to have our sins forgiven, to stand righteous before Him has changed. Under the old covenant, there was a covering of sin temporarily for a year by the slaying of a lamb, and then it was redone each year by the high priest. But under the new covenant, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away our sin and forever sat down on the right hand of God, eternally making good our redemption, because He's the Lamb of God. Are you with me? So we don't come to God with lambs and bulls and goats in that sense now, because that was had to do with covering your sin. But the things that had to do just living our life and obeying God and keeping His commandments and so on, none of that's really changed. We still love, we still forgive, we still live holy, we still tithe. Tithing was before Moses, during Moses and the law, after Moses and the law, new covenant, new old covenant, Old Testament and new. Amen. In fact, this is interesting, and we established that this morning, talked about that in great detail, the account in Genesis 14 where Abram tithed to Melchizedek, the parallel in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, where the writer of Hebrews took that as a typology, as a symbol, as a foreshadowing of Jesus, that Melchizedek, well, Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Abraham, obviously, is a type of the church or the believer. And so as Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, Jesus receives tithes today because He's after the order of Melchizedek. And we, of course, represented by Abraham, the church, tithes to Jesus. And went over that in great detail and taught on that this morning. So didn't get that, get the tape. You'll love it. Get the CD, get the DVD, whatever. Notice here in Matthew 23. Everybody say Matthew 23. In the 23rd verse. This is real easy to remember. 23:23. Jesus speaking, He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Jesus is real nice to religious people. He said, "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, judgment or justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone." Y'all get it? In other words, they're putting their emphasis on one thing as opposed to another thing, and that's always wrong. You know, if I just taught on finances all the time, that would be wrong. That would be imbalanced, because that would not give you the full course or full meal that God has for you in His Word. It wouldn't be a balanced diet of the Word. If all I taught on was healing all the time, that's all I taught on, that would be imbalanced. Are you with me? If all I taught on was prayer, if all I taught on was just being born again. These are all valid subjects in Bible doctrines, but see, they're one of many doctrines. So to have a balanced diet, we need to teach well-rounded teaching and teach subject after subject after subject and tie them together. Are you with me? That's why you have extremists in certain areas. And many times we'll get to teaching on a subject and people will identify us with extremists. We'll say, "We believe in prosperity." They'll say, "Oh, here's some of those prosperity teachers." Well, we do believe in teaching prosperity, but we also believe in holy living. We believe also in prayer. We believe also in faith and believing God. We also believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, you could go right down the list. There's a lot of things we believe. If you come one time, you only hear one message. You don't know what all we teach, because you have to come a while to hear all that we teach. So tithing, that's all I talk about is tithing. Well, actually, no, I haven't taught on tithing probably as a subject for a couple of years now. At least, maybe longer, yeah. But we do teach on finances and tithing from time to time, just like we do a lot of subjects, we get back on them. So here they were centering on one thing. They were just talking about the tithe. And that would be imbalanced if that's all you talked about. If all I talked about in teaching finance is tithing, I'd be imbalanced on finances, because biblical finance includes more than just tithing and giving. That's why for a few weeks here, we've been talking about all kinds of subjects about finance out of the Bible, to get a well-rounded, balanced idea of what God has in mind for us, what He wants us to do. So here it says, you've tithed mint, anise, and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faith. See, you ought to do these things. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. So there's Jesus saying tithing was right. But it's not the only thing. So to not tithe would be to misunderstand totally what Jesus is saying here, because he said don't leave it undone. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, I just think we ought to just live right. I do too. I think we ought to just be merciful. I believe that. I think we ought to just be just in our dealings with people and just live by faith. I don't think time's all that important. Well, now, wait a minute. Jesus said to be just, and he said to be merciful, and he said to use faith, but he also said don't leave tithing undone. Ooh, hallelujah. So there's New Testament, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, telling us to not leave something undone. I think a lot of people have done that, and we're not here pointing fingers and condemning people. We're just want you to understand that Jesus instituted and believed in tithing himself. I mean, he started it, of course, as the creator of the world, and he never stopped it even during his reign on the earth, when he was on the earth, and it continued on into the new covenant, even there in Hebrews 7 chapter. Now, there's also another scripture, don't turn to it if you're writing notes, but this is repeated in Luke 11, verse 42. He says the same thing again. So twice we have Jesus, his mouth saying, don't leave tithing undone. Ooh, hallelujah. How many of you want to obey Jesus? You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if he said, don't leave tithing undone, we don't need to leave it undone. You say, well, I hadn't been doing it. Well, just repent and start right now. You say, well, I don't know if I can pay back. Well, you couldn't pay back. What are you talking about? Forget all that. Just start now. Just, you know, I mean, you get people that just get saved at 30 or 35, 40, whatever. Are they supposed to pay back tithes? God doesn't look at that. Start where you are. Besides, you can't think in those kinds of terms. Well, I got to catch up. Well, you'll never catch up on what you owe God, because you owe him more than your life anyway. But just start where you are. Start where you are. Amen? And just be faithful. Now, let's look at some of the blessings of tithing. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. While we're going there, I went over this morning at Genesis 28. You turn to Deuteronomy 14. This morning went over Genesis 28, where Jacob vowed a vow to God on his way from Israel. He was actually running from the land of Israel. It wasn't Israel at that time, because Jacob himself was later called Israel. But he was running from the land of Canaan up north. He was going up north to flee from his brother, because he'd taken his birthright and so on. And he had a vision. He had a dream. This is where we get Jacob's ladder. You know, where he had that heaven was open, the angels descended and so on. God told him that he would take care of him. That was Genesis 28. And then Jacob turned right around and made a vow. He vowed a vow. He said, Lord, if you be with me and you clothe me and you feed me as I go on my way, he says, surely I will give you a tenth of all that you give to me. And we brought out how that you tithe off what you think God gave you. That's real simple. But I think something that we missed there too, if you really take it apart and look at it, actually what Jacob was saying every time he tithed, obviously when he tithed, he was acknowledging that God was the author of his success. And so when we tithe, that's what we're saying also. We're saying by our tithe that we believe that God is the one who has blessed us. Now we're obeying him, sure. And we're starting the principle where God can bless us. Because God will bless you if you tithe. There's no question. That's all throughout the Word. We're going to look at some of these scriptures here. God wants to bless you. That's the whole intent and purpose here of you individually getting involved. Now, you say, well, I thought God's using our money to promote the gospel. He is, but you know, if you don't do it, he'll just use somebody else. But he wants you to be blessed.
Amen.
He wants you to be involved in the process. But see, there's a lot going on there. When we're tithing, we're not just honoring God or obeying God, we're also acknowledging God. We're saying, God, you are the one that has caused me to live, that put this money in my hand. I don't have anything except by your hand and your grace and your mercy. And that's what Jacob was saying. He said, if you will do that for me, I will give you a tenth of all that you give me. So tithing actually is an acknowledgement that God is the one that gave you what you have. And to not honor him or respect him or give it back to him is to say that we made it with our own hand. Ooh, beware. The Bible talks about that in Deuteronomy 8 chapter. Beware Lest when you are full and you built goodly houses and you dwelt in them and your gold and your silver is multiplied and your flocks and your cattle are multiplied, beware lest you say in your heart, the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Woo. That's Deuteronomy 18, the last verse that I quoted there. We want to make sure that we understand, and God understands that we know, that he is the author of our success. So every time we bring that tithe in, we're saying, God, we know where it came from. We know where it came from. Now we're putting this aside for your glory and for your kingdom and for your work. It's an honoring of God. It is acknowledging of God. It acknowledges that he is the author of our success. Now, Deuteronomy 14, you found it?
Amen.
Deuteronomy 14 talks a lot about tithing. If you have time, you ought to read that whole chapter. We don't have time tonight. He says in the 22nd verse, you shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. How much should they tithe off of? All the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. See, don't be confused. Sometimes you'll read in the Scripture in the Old Testament, especially to talk about in the third year, the year of tithing, bring this, bring that. Some people say, well, we're supposed to tithe every third year. But no, they tithe year by year. They tithe off of all the increase year by year that the field produced. In fact, the Bible even talks about if you couldn't get to the house of the Lord, where his name is, to bring your tithe, then convert it into money and bring it when you can. Hello? But here he says, you shall surely tithe, truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. In other words, a place that was called by his name. In our day would be, of course, the church. That's where you should come. That's where you should fellowship, worship. That's where you should bring your tithe. Because this is where his name abides. This is what we've set aside, this building, this place, this ground, this gathering, this people. We've set this place aside to worship the Lord. We call this International Outreach Church here. It goes by other names in other places and other cities. But this is the place that we've set aside for God in his service, where his name is. This is where we gather to honor him. Of course, we live for him, honor him all week long. But we get together on a specific time, specific place, to bring our tithes, to join our efforts and our increase and so on and so forth, and continue to serve God here. You shall eat before the Lord your God, 23rd verse, in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and of your new wine and of your oil, of the firstborn of your herds, of your flocks. See, it includes everything, all your increase, whatever it is that you do and whatever it is that you have. Of course, today we have jobs and we get paychecks, and so it would be off that paycheck. But then he says this, why do we do this? That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That you may learn to fear the Lord your God. And that's respect and awe and reverence the Lord your God always. You need to keep him foremost in your thinking. You don't need to let money get away from you. Your money take over you, as it were. Don't let bad attitudes slip in. No. You keep your eyes and your focus on the Lord. You keep bringing that tithe and learn to fear the Lord God always. That he is the one that has blessed you. He's the one that sustains you. He brought the rain for your increase. He blessed you with the job. He gave you the hands to work with. You may work your own fingers to the bone, but he put the bones in your fingers, and he put the fingers on the bones. Hello. Are you with me? And tithing comes, it just reminds you that every time you bring it in here, you remember and you learn to fear the Lord your God, to honor him, to walk in his ways. There's a lot that goes on when you tithe. I mean, we just think about just throwing money in a bucket. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's acknowledging God. It's confessing that he's the author of our success. It's saying, Father, we fear you. We reverence you. We all stand in awe of you. And out of respect and honor, I come and bring my gift, you know, of what you have blessed me with. I've set it aside like you said, Father, and here it is, the tithe. And then he goes on, notice in the 28th verse, at the end of every third year. Now, first of all, we just read every year by year. Did y'all see that? Every year, year by year. Then it says, every third year you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of what year, of that year, and store it up within your gates, and the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance. The priesthood was to live off the tithe. The priesthood had no inheritance. See, the priesthood, actually, when you talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, really when you say the 12 tribes of Israel, you're not talking about the Levites. The Levites, that was the fourth son of Jacob, Reuben, not actually third son. Reuben, was it Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan? Yeah, third son. But there's Levi. Levi was not included in the tribes because he made up the priesthood. You say, well, there's only 12 sons. That makes 11. No, Joseph had two sons, and his two sons became two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. So when you see a list of the tribes, they won't list Joseph. They'll list Ephraim and Manasseh, and they won't list Levi. Because Levi was the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And they even camped around the tabernacle. When they camped, the Bible tells us, the second chapter, Numbers chapter 2, tells us the camping order of the tribes. And it tells you three tribes on the north, three tribes on the east, three tribes on the south, and three tribes on the west. And Levi was not included. Levi camped around the tabernacle. So they didn't have an inheritance. When they divided the land in Joshua, when they went into the land of Canaan, they divided up the land amongst the 12 tribes. Levi didn't have an inheritance. The Levites were the priest. So they lived off the tithe. And it was right that they should do so. Under a new covenant, of course, the pastor and the ministry should be supported by the ministry. You know, Paul even addressed that in 1 Corinthians when he talked about, he says, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, is it not right that I would reap carnal things from you? Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. That's the example he used. So the worker of the Lord should be ministered to and sustained by the offerings of the people. That's the way it's always been, old covenant and new. And that's a good system. Are you with me? So it says here, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out this tithe of your produce that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. So what's the intent here? That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Wow. So just in that one chapter, in those couple of instances we looked at here, we see that we, as we tithe, we learn to fear the Lord our God, and we are being blessed by God. We're allowing Him to bless us. See, if you just budget your money and you just, you know, watch your finances and you don't tithe and you don't give, you know, in the natural, that all makes a lot of sense. But you know what you don't have on what you're doing? You don't have the blessing of God on what you're doing. And I found this to be true, and I've heard testimony after testimony. Every one of you can stand up and give the same testimony. 90% of your money goes further than 100% of that money. If you give 10% to God, God will make that 90 go further than that 100. You may try to figure that out on a calculator, but life testifies it's the truth. It may not work out on paper, but I'll tell you, the blessing of God on that 90 is a whole lot better than having all 100% with no blessing. Woo! Because little things begin to eat at you. Things start, you seem like everything starts going wrong. You start having to pay for this. You didn't think on this. You didn't think about this came up. Man, where did that come from? See, and the blessing of God keeps a lot of that from happening. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll see so many things God kept away from us because we honored Him.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And He wants to bless, the Lord wants to bless you and all the work of your hand. Everybody say, work of your hand. And that's why you got to put all this together. You can't just say tithe is the only thing He talks about, because He's talking about working here too. He'll bless your work. He doesn't just bless the giving. The giving puts the blessing on your work. So there's got to be some work for Him to bless. And you know something else we don't always think about either, but it's pretty obvious. If you're going to honor God and give 10% of His money back to Him, because really it's all His, right? Then you have to know what the 100% is. You couldn't know what the 100% it was, so you could take off the 10% if you don't know how much money you bring in. So you'd have to do a little bit of budgeting here to even tithe, wouldn't you? I mean, we often miss that point. Well, I'm not really into budgets. Well, how in the world could you ever tithe if you're not into budget? You have to know how much you brought in if you're going to give 10% back to God. Huh? Well, think about it. So there again, there's responsibility, and there's getting a grip on your finances, and God assumes that we should know what we have coming in, how much our monies are, you know, income is, and then 10% of it is a tithe. So to even tithe, you'd have to get a grip on your finances to even do that. You'd have to know where you were financially speaking. Amen? Okay, so we can see that in Deuteronomy 14. Turn over to Malachi. This is the good one. Everybody knows this one. Come on. Malachi 3. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We're talking about the blessing of tithes, the blessing of tithing. There is a blessing on the other end of obedience. In fact, your blessing is waiting for you on the other end of obedience. No matter what it is, whether it's tithe or anything else. As you obey God, God will bless you. You know, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 tells us that if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and obey His commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. Hallelujah. And then it lists for 14 verses there, you know, what God will do. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, the increase of your cattle. And then it says, blessed shall you be... coming in and going out, basket store. It says the Lord will command the blessing upon your storehouses and the rain to give on your land in its season to bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations. You shall not borrow. You be the head, not the tail. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
But it all starts out, hearken to His voice. Do that which is right in His sight. Obey His commandments. Blessings on the other side of obedience.
Amen.
Don't look back. Can't undo the past. Can't undo your twisted, wicked little life. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can't undo everything I've done, but I can start now and start serving God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what God's asking us to do. Malachi 3, in the 8th verse, will a man rob God? These are hard words, but this is Scripture. This is the Bible. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Well, I don't even need to expound it on them. That's pretty plain itself. I heard a story one time of a preacher, supposed to be a true story, that had a vault, you know, in his office, in the church office. And in that church office, in that vault, he would just had a habit of, when he'd get a sermon together, he would just put it on top of the inside of the vault and close it. This is way back years ago. And he had to be teaching on tithing that week. Well, what happened that week was the church got broken into and somebody opened up the vault. And they got there and everything was intact and everything was still there. And laying on top of all the money was that sermon on tithing, and it was called, Will a Man Rob God? And I guess that thief went there, opened up that safe, looked at that and thought, and left. Oh, hallelujah. He has more respect than a lot of us do. Are you with me? He says, will a man rob God? And then he says, wherein have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and we got a blessed church. I'm telling you, my goodness, we got a giving church. We got a prosperous church, and our people are so blessed. But, you know, it's not that way in a lot of churches. In fact, across the land, the average amount of people that tithe in the church is such a minute few, around 20% or less of people tithe that go to church. It's what's sad. Now, here's what's so sad about that, is that we could be reaching the world. If everybody went to church tithe, we could reach we could change the face of our nation. We could change the face of the world. We could change our community. Because I don't know probably a bigger problem in most churches than the area of finances. And not our church. I mean, we're fine with finance. We can always use more money, stay with me. But we're blessed. But you know, that's not the case in most churches. In most churches, they're just struggling. They're trying to get their bills. But outreaches, are you kidding? They're just trying to get the mortgage paid on the building. And it's not supposed to be that way. In fact, if all of God's people do what they're supposed to do, my goodness, you couldn't build buildings fast enough, start outreaches fast enough. The money would just be flowing in because everybody would be honoring God. There would be such a good spirit in that church. Because, see, that also rolls over in your attitude, too. Rolls over in the spirit of the service. That's why our services are so hot, sizzling hot. That's why everybody's so excited during praise and worship. Because, by and large, we have a lot of givers in our church. Are you with me? I mean, people that really want to obey God. Now, sure, not everybody does. If you're that person, just you repent, ask God to help you, you obey God and get in line. Amen? But He says here, He says, bring, everybody say bring. So God wants you to be a part of serving God with it. He wants you to bring your tithe and give it as a matter of worship, not just mail it in. Now, if you're going out of town, sure, mail it, we'll take it. But God wants you, if you're here, to come bring it. And we have people stop by sometimes, drop off a tithe if they're going out of town. That happens quite often. That's great. That's wonderful. I do the same thing. I want to honor the Lord. If I'm going to be out of town, I want to make sure that I bring that tithe in. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. So it says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food or meat in my house. I like to say it this way. Meat, coarse sustenance, natural, sure, lights, walls, electricity, all the things that it takes to make it happen, make it work. Sure, in the natural, but also there's a spiritual truth here that there may be meat, spiritual meat in the house.
Yeah.
A church that gives is going to have strong anointing on that word. I believe that. A church that's a giving church, there's going to be people excited about the word. There's going to be good meat, spiritual meat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you get an old stingy church, you know, the meat's no good. It's not the best cut. Hello. Not fresh. But he says that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, or try me now in this. New King James says, prove me now herewith. Boy, God's making a challenge here. He's saying, listen, I challenge you on this deal. You've been saying you can't afford to do it. You've been saying it doesn't work. Listen, you better get, you try me. You prove me. You bring it in, see if I won't bless you. Anybody ever been blessed by tithing? Oh, goodness. We'd be here all night taking testimonies of people that have tithed, and then times that you didn't, and then the blessing lifted. God didn't curse you. God didn't put something bad on you. It's just His hand was, He couldn't help because you didn't give Him something to bless. See, a lot of times we think something goes wrong. We think God's getting on us. It's not that God's getting on us. God's not doing anything. Because when God gets involved, He's always helping, always blessing. But see, we pull His hands back. We're on our own. We're out there on our own, not doing what He says. So He's not able. That's why He says when you get right, He calls it drawing near to Him and coming to Him. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh to you. It's we've gotten out from under His protection, out from under His blessing. And so tithing really puts us under the blessing, puts us under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. So, He says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. How are we going to prove Him? If I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, such a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it.
Amen.
Now, this is not some modern-day stream prosperity teaching. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. And God said that He'll bless your socks off, as it were.
Amen.
Maybe you don't wear socks, but you know something. Put it in their shoes, whatever. He'll bless you so much that it'll be more than you can handle. Your cup will run over. He'll anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over. That's more than you can handle, more than enough. You'll throw the net out and the net will break because of so many fish. You'll put them in the boat and you'll have to get another boat because your boat will sink. You'll have to start giving. You'll have to start helping more. You'll have to start raising your giving level because it's just too much. We've proven that in our church. In our giving, we used to give. 1 year, 1995, I think we gave $8,000. Missions. We've come a long way, baby. Telling you. But we made a vow. We made a commitment. I remember we got, Mo and Ron and I got together. We said, look, we got to do something about our giving. We have got to do something about our giving. We got to break this cycle because we were just struggling. And so we got vicious, aggressive about our giving. And we increased our giving. And every time we increased our giving, God would increase our income. It was, you can look at the records. I mean, from that year on, it was Katie bar the door. We gave $8,000 that year. The next year, we gave $12,000. The next year, we gave $20,000. The next year, we gave $32,000. The next year, we gave $58,000. I don't know what those years were, but that next year, we have never given less than $100,000 a year since then. Wow. Think about it. 95 was 8, 96 was 12, 97 was 32, 98 was 58. From 1999 till now, we've given over $100,000 every year. Every year. And we're going to give $200,000 this year. I'm going to stand here and tell you we have given $200,000. But we started where we were, see. We started proving God in our giving. We started as a church, began to give. And break that. We broke that cycle in our church,
right.
And our income in the church just—well, it's 10 times what it was.
Yes.
It's 10 times what it was. Of course, our giving's over 10 times too. Pretty proportionate when you think about it. That our total income in this church is pretty much proportionate to what our giving has been now compared to what it was then. Oh, hallelujah. So, he says this. He says, I will open you the windows of heaven, and I will pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room to receive it. Now bear in mind, think about it. You don't get goofy here. We're not talking about being flaky. You know, we're not talking about being crazy charismatics here. We're not talking about sloppy agape. We're talking about using wisdom. We didn't go from 8 to 100 in 1 year. We gave 8 in 1 year. We gave 12,000 the next year. We gave 12, then we gave 20. We gave 20, then we gave 32. Are you with me? So don't get up and say, okay, well, I've been given this much. I'm going to give three times that much. No, slow down. Slow down now. You got to use some wisdom here. Are you with me? But you got to start, because if you don't do anything, you'll have nothing. Right. Next year will be the same thing. But if you don't start saying, okay, I'm going to do better, use wisdom. Now look at your finances if that's the case. If you haven't been tithing, first start tithing. That's what you need to do. Every Christian ought to be tithing in a church. And then as you tithe, then you ought to believe God to help you to give more above that. Maybe extra offerings or... And listen, I'm not trying to get your money. That's not the point I'm making here. I just want to help you, and you're going to have to start thinking and expand your thinking, because you limit God in how much He can bless you. Are you with me? Now don't get crazy and say, okay, I'm going to get my whole paycheck next week. No, that would be crazy. That would be wrong. Hello. No, use your wisdom. That's why you're going to have to get in and look at your finances, get a grip on your finances. But if you want to break the cycle that you're in, if you don't like it, then start gradually, incrementally, start doing some things and let God increase you.
Amen.
And pray over it. Believe God. Take these scriptures and say, God, you said here that you'd bless me if I did this. And so I'm doing this. I'm proving you now.
Amen.
Are you with me? And I'm going to do this. And so he says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now see, there again, that's what happens a lot of times. The little foxes spoil the vines. You know, they just start eating away at your finances. Little things, they're like always something going wrong. Well, you know, tithing will keep a lot of that always something going wrong from going wrong. There's always going to be something comes up, but it seems like it's just a lot sometimes. And God says He'll rebuke the devourer. Think about this when I bring that tithe and I put it in that bucket. I'm honoring God. I'm acknowledging that God's the author of my success. Okay, I'm throwing it in there and I'm saying, God, well, I fear you. I'm learning to fear and trust you. And it is. And then, Father, I thank for the blessing of God that's coming on the work of my hands. So you said do this so you could bless me. So here it is, Father, bless me. And I'm rebuking the devourer. It is a rebuke on the devourer. God Himself said He rebuked the devourer when I bring that tithe in.
Right.
A lot going on there when I'm tithing. According to the Scriptures, there's a lot of blessing tacked on and attached to that tithe when I put it in the offering. Oh, hallelujah. There's a rebuke from heaven on the devourer when I put my tithe in the offering. So he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. You'll work and your work will produce. It won't just get eat up with all expenses and everything going wrong. No. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Unproductivity. No, it'll produce. Whatever you're doing is going to work. Instead of just spinning your wheels and struggling and working and never getting ahead, all of a sudden you'll start increasing. That's what he's saying. That's what he said he'd do. Nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
You know, you won't be sour. You won't be mad and upset about it, crossing your arms all the time. You can't wait for the offering to come.
Amen.
You'll be a cheerful giver. No, it's amazing. You can always tell when people are givers and people aren't. By the way, they look when the offering bucket comes by. And I don't look. I don't check you out. And I don't have a list here, but you know where I'm checking you out. But you know, if you love to give, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Because you're involved. You know what happens when you give. And so you can't wait to give. You're a prompt to do giver. You're a cheerful giver. You can't wait to be a part of what God's doing. You can't wait to bring the tithe in. You don't go, oh, my Lord, here I go again. Look at all that money. No, you can't wait to give that money.
Amen.
You can't wait to give it. Or you'll get a big amount of money in, you'll go, man, there's no way I can't give that much money. What do you mean? It's just 10%. Whatever it is 10%. No, if you're a tither, you go, wow, I can't wait to give this. Look how big our tithe is going to be this week. Isn't this exciting? I mean, I've had people, you know, sell houses or sell land, and they come in with several $1,000 check. People that didn't give that much, they gave what they could. They gave their tithe. They tithed off their income. But they had a big sale or something, and they were so excited about it. And I, see, this is me in the natural. I felt bad about even taking the money. Because I thought, man, but you know, I'd have been wrong not to take it, not receive it here in the church, because it was a tithe. It was their tithe. And God blessed them. And they were happy and excited to do it. And God's going to bless them back for giving.
Amen.
We ought to be that quick, see, that quick. When money comes in, oh, I'm going to tithe. I got to get that tithe in. Because that's where the blessing comes. See, my blessing's on that tithe. My blessing's in that thing. It's wrapped up in it. My rebuke on the devourer's wrapped up in it. Got to get that out of my hands. That thing's getting hot. I got to get rid of it. Goodness gracious, get the blessing on me.
Woo.
That's why he calls it first fruits. First fruits, first fruits. See? You do it first. Okay, so he says this. He says, you'll be called the last man, says the Lord of hosts. And here's where he gets down to it. He gives us some instruction concerning tithe after we've tithe. 13th verse. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? In other words, they had laws about mourning, so on and so forth. But in context, what do you think he's talking about here? What ordinance is he talking about in context here? Tithing. How do we know that? We just read it. Okay. We just read it, so now he's saying your word's been stout and you're saying it doesn't pay the tithe. You're saying it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? You know, something you need to never say is tithing doesn't work. Because God hears that, for one thing. And you negate that blessing when you do that. Your words can be stout against God. In other words, you can go through the motions and put it in the bucket, but then when you walk out of here and say, man, I'll tell you what, this is not working. This is just not working. Hello. Don't say that. So get your words in line with your actions. Be consistent in what you do and what you say. And if you believe God, see, if you don't, here's the deal. If you don't believe it works, don't give. Really, don't. No, really. You say, well, don't you want our money? No, we don't want your money. Come on, you're missing the whole point. Don't give if you're not going to believe. Now, I'm sure not telling you not to believe and not to give. I'm just saying it's not going to help you. It won't work for you if you bring in tithes, you bring in offerings, and you don't believe it works. Because you're just undoing what you've done there. You say, well, should I just not give then? You're saying don't give then? Well, I'm just saying it won't work for you. I'm saying you need to get in faith and give because God says so. And you do remember, he said, don't rob God. Okay, he did say that. But obviously he's saying he's not able to bless you because your words aren't right. And if our words are, that's why we always talk big around here about how God's blessing us and how God's prospering us and God's going to bless what we do. And we're givers and we love to give and God blesses what we give. We brag on the fact that these principles work, that we've tried them and proven them. You know, I had a minister friend of mine one time said that it was Rachel Birchfield, used to be Rachel Cook. At that time, we ministered together in some youth meetings, big youth gatherings at Lakewood and one down in Victoria, Texas. And Brent and I have known her for years and years. And she'd get up, and one time she was preaching, she was talking about it, she went through the promises of God. And she says, you know, I just went through the promises. And she was real simple the way she said this. It was really good. She said, I would just put a T beside a promise when I see it. That means I went out and tried it out. And then after I'd see it come to pass, I'd come back and put a P beside it. That's proven. And since before long, I just had TP, 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 all the way through there. Every promise I'd come across, I'd start winding up having a T and a P by it. But if you don't ever try it, you'll never prove it.
That's right.
Hello? And God is saying, prove me here.
That's right.
Prove me in this thing. How can you say, well, I tithe one time, it didn't work. Well, now, wait a minute. We're not talking about one time. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about living this way. We're talking about doing it every day, every week, whatever it is you get paid, every 2 weeks, however you get paid. Obey God. Prove God. And then let your words agree with what you're saying. Don't say it's useless to serve God. Don't say there's no profit in keeping his ordinance. Don't say, 15 verse, so now we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. In other words, we're saying people out there not serving God do better than I am. No, I remember when I was lost. I'm sorry, I'd have to correct you there. I'm a whole lot better off. Are you with me? I am a whole lot better off than I was before I got saved. I'm not going to let that slip my lips. No way. I've been lost. I've been saved. Saved is better. Hallelujah. And I tell you, on the other side of tithing, it's a blessing to be a tither. It's a blessing to be a giver. And God has blessed us in so many ways in our family, in our life. Untold ways. Have we struggled? Sure, we've gone through some struggles. But you know what? I never had trouble believing God because I knew God would bless me because I honored Him. It didn't mean I didn't go through a battle. It didn't mean I didn't go through struggles. It didn't mean I didn't have to. I worked two jobs. You know, I've done that. I've done whatever I had to do. But you know what? I knew God was going to bless me because I had honored Him with my time. And I knew it was going to happen. I didn't care how long it took, and I didn't care what I had to go through, but there was glory and victory on the other side because I had honored God, and I knew it worked.
Amen.
And I had no trouble believing God to bless me. No trouble believing God to get me out of the mess I'm in. No trouble God taking care of my finances. No trouble believing Him because I had honored God. And He told me that He would open the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
See, you've got to watch your mouth. Because it doesn't mean you don't fall on hard times. It doesn't mean you don't struggle from time to time. But it means this, that you don't let come out of your mouth that this is not working. It's not going to happen. No, it will happen. Maybe you're being afflicted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Hallelujah. You've got an enemy out here. It's the devil, not God. God's not your problem. He's your answer. And you hang in there and believe Him and trust Him, obey His commandments, His statutes, He is going to bless you. We've had rough years, but I tell you, the good ones far outweighed the rough ones. And right now, we're picking high cotton.
Amen.
That means I'm not on my knees. You know, I'm picking a high cotton right off the top. See, I like that. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy 26. We'll close this out. This helping you?
Yes.
So we want to obey God. We want to keep our mouth straight. And let the blessing of God come. Here, in this 26th chapter, He's talking about when you bring the tithe to the children of Israel. He was telling them when they brought the tithe to the Lord, their attitude, what their attitude should be, and how they should approach this thing. In fact, I don't have time to go into all of it, but if you look at it, they start out by talking about how they were lost and how they were Syrians and without a country, and God blessed them, and God brought them out of Egypt with signs and wonders and so on and so forth. In other words, to recount the blessing, the goodness, the mercy of God on their life when they brought their offering in. God, you're the one that sustained us. You're the one that's blessed us. In you we live and move and have our very being. I remember when I did not know you. I remember when I was lost. I remember those days. I remember where I was going. And, you know, God, I thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you. See, you should come with that attitude. What could you give God to pay for that? 10%? Oh, come on. And He's going to bless you for giving that. That's what gets me. You know, we just struggle with this thing. I couldn't give God everything I have and sell all I have and give to Him to pay what He's done in my life. And all He's asking is that, you know, whatever I give you, son, give 10% back to me to work with, and I will bless you for that. My goodness. So you come with this attitude. You come acknowledging what He's done in your life. In fact, you ought to read that whole chapter. It's awesome. And then the 13th verse says, then you will say before the Lord your God. And He's talking about tithing, bringing the tithe. We're reading context to make sure that's what it's about. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. I have also given them to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. In other words, there were certain dietary laws when there was mourning the dead and so on and so forth. Nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use. I haven't misused it, abused it, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. You're bringing the tithe and you're saying this to the Lord. This is your attitude you come with. 15th verse. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel.
Amen.
And the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land that flowing with milk and with honey. Far from saying the ordinances don't work, it does not profit to keep the ordinances. No, God is saying when you bring that in, you ask me to bless you. I'll bless you. You bring this tithe in, prove me. Prove me in this. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room to receive. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. You shall be called a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now see, don't let your words be stout. Let the blessing come. See, that's all we're talking about. See, tithing brings the blessing. The blessing's on the other side of it. And so all God's trying to do is bless us. But we've got to keep our attitude straight. We've got to keep our words straight. And we've got to keep bringing that tithe. And proving God in the process. And so doing, hey, we've proven it. I'll tell you, we've proven it as a church. I've proven it as a family. And we, like I said, we go all night here just taking testimonies along these lines. But our attitude should be, tithe, goodness gracious, Lord, I'd give you it all if you wanted it. He's just asking 10%. And you'll find as God blesses you, you won't want to stop there. Because what will happen, you'll be so blessed, you just can't. I mean, how many cars can you drive? How many houses can you live in? You can't just keep buying more houses. Come on, are you going to have a house everywhere in every city in the world? Just get you a good house, and if you want another one somewhere, fine, that's fine. But you know, you're going to get to the point, if you obey God and God blesses you, that you're just going to want to give more. The 10% is not going to work anymore. You're going to want to give 20 and then 30 and then 40 and then 50. I'm not saying go do that right now. I'm saying get out of debt. You center in on getting your house paid for and your cars paid for. Get out of debt. Get those credit cards paid for. My goodness, get that. Pay off your credit cards. Are you with me? You need to center in on that. But don't undo and tangle up God's hands. Don't undo that blessing with your mouth. Because this works. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a blessing on the other side of tithing.